Welcome back to People Over Pixels, a show exploring the human side of running a digital business. As the episode title suggests, this is the second episode of our two-parter delving into why we spent £100,000 renovating our office, when most of our team worked remotely, everywhere from Birmingham all the way to Aberdeen. Context is always helpful, so if you haven't listened to part one now, I highly suggest that you go and do so before starting episode two. All caught up? Excellent, let's go. Here in part two, we're going to be sharing all the deets on the practical elements of our grand refurbishment. Everything from how we evaluated project partners and involved our team in the design process, right through to breaking down project costs and where Sam and I butted heads in our opinions. Strap in, because here comes episode five of People Over Pixels.
So this is part two. So I think it goes without saying, if you are coming into part two without listening to part one, it's probably time to go back and have a quick listen.
Yeah, you should probably start with part one. It's the logical thing to do.
Yeah.
If you are too lazy to listen to part one, shame on you. Just go and do it. We need our views to go up. We need our listen count up. It's also quite interesting, so please do go and listen to that first.
But if you really can't be bothered, we're just going to do a quick recap of what we covered in that episode.
There we go. Servicing the lazy people.
Yeah, well, you've got to play to your audience.
So what were the main things we spoke about?
The main points were about the motivations behind why we did the refit.
All about the rationale.
Yeah, so it was going into the whole purpose and that shift from being all crammed into this office to working in a much more hybrid way and the office just not being suitable for us.
People crammed into corridors, too many people for the amount of desks we had. Bunk desks were discussed at one point. The layout, the systems we had just did not suit the people we had at the time and needed to change, especially when we went to a hybrid workforce and we went from crammed to empty, ghost town, tumbleweeds.
Absolutely. How can you not want to go and listen to part one now?
Yeah.
Bunk desks.
Bunk desks, yeah. It's an exciting concept.
Yeah.
Should trademark that. Don't bunk steal desks. It. Cut that.
No, they exist.
Oh, bugger, too late then.
Yeah, when we looked into them for the office, they actually existed.
Actually exist, amazing. Yeah. Maybe we should have just done that and kept everybody here.
And the other part of it was, the other part was our physical manifestation of our digital brand. So we've gone through a huge rebrand last year, and we wanted that to reflect in the way our office felt and the benefits it had for our team.
Yeah, needed that nice continuation of all the work we'd put into our online presence, our online rebrand, refreshing of how we came across to people we worked with online and have that reflected in our physical space.
Yes, it had been 10 years since we'd done any significant work with the office and it was about time.
Yeah, needed a bit of modernization.
Absolutely.
We also talked about what we wanted to achieve out of that refurb and the things that we're going to dive into a lot more today. Bunk desks are not the ideal thing, so we knew that we needed some more dedicated workspaces for very different working styles. You know, we accept that some people, like Sam, like to sit there with his headphones on and ignore the world.
I don't come across well.
I do sometimes too, but we knew some people like to do that. Some people love to use the office as that collaborative space to get together and have those water cooler moments, make it a social experience when they're doing that mix of working from home sometimes and working in the office on other days.
Absolutely. And it had to meet all those needs for all the different team members we had.
Yeah, especially when they're doing both at the same time and you've got a stand-up or something going on or a call going on where you've got five people in the office and three people that are remote. You've got to have that blend of facilities so that you can have that mix of different types of collaboration and discussion as well.
Absolutely. So rationale, all in part one.
Go listen now. I'm going to leave a nice pause for you to come back to this in a second.
Yeah.
One, we'll two, wait. Three, four, five. There we go. You've had time to listen. On to part two.
Well, welcome back. So in this episode, we're going to talk about the practicalities of how we went about it. So we talked about the rationale. Now we're going to talk about all the trials and tribulations of actually going about this process.
Yep.
And it was a bit of a challenging process.
Yes. Yeah, it was. It was a long process. It was challenging. Successful at the end, but challenging.
A lot harder than I think either of us expected it to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially considering we knew that we wanted to go out and find a partner to help us with this.
Yeah. Right.
Both of us are fairly au fait with DIY stuff. We do a lot at home. We do the few bits around the office as well. However, renovating an entire three-story grade two listed building ourselves while doing the day job was something that I don't think either of us fancied taking on at the time. So a partner to manage that project, to bring in the right teams, to get shit done was essential.
Absolutely. So how did we go about finding a partner?
One of the first things I did when we knew that we wanted to find someone was start reaching out to other agencies. You know, we know a lot of people in our space who post very nice photos of the fancy offices they've had renovated over the years. So really the first port of call was going and asking them, who did it? Were they good? Did they complete it on time? Did they complete it to budget? Would you recommend them to somebody else? I had a couple of chats behind the scenes to try and pick out a couple of partners to approach.
Yeah, and that got us to one particular partner, didn't it?
It did indeed. That got us down to, I say, a short list of one. It was, you know, eventually just one yeah. partner that we said, right, these guys have done renovation works for agencies similar to us before. They get the vibe, they get the style, they understand, it seems, what people need from those kind of workspaces. Yeah. So let's have a chat with them and let's get the ball rolling.
Yeah, so had them down to our office. They had a look around. We had a really good talk, didn't we, about what we wanted from the office?
Yep.
And off they went.
Yeah, it was a very similar process to how we approach discovery sessions for our web clients as well, actually, you know, going through that, come down, let's have a discovery session, let's scope things out, let's talk in detail about what you need. You know, for a renovation company, they came down and took all the measurements, they took the photos, they got some design inspiration as well that they could take away and work with the team. And then similar to us, we had a one-off fee to do that kind of design and scoping session, which would ultimately end up with a first set of blueprints, architectural renders, an idea of what the final product would look like.
Yes.
Which is a great way to do it, to be honest, because you're not committing to that entire project up front.
Yeah, it massively de-risked the project. We weren't just dropping 100k with the first company we worked with.
Yeah, instead it was like $2,500 to get this first step of the process done, which even if we'd have had to done it with like three different companies is well worth doing to make sure you get to the end result that you're trying to achieve.
Absolutely. So they went away and a couple of weeks later we got a set of designs.
Yes, yeah, first blueprints. It was a very exciting moment.
Yeah, what were your initial thoughts?
Hard question. God, that's a long way to think back. What were my initial thoughts? I was really excited about what this could become.
Yeah.
And to start seeing these things put into place. But I remember distinctly seeing some really weird placement of things on the blueprints.
Yeah. Right?
And I think we had some dividing walls that had been put in on our ground floor that left some really weird pockets, random pockets of space in corners that probably weren't even big enough to put a plant pot in and would have kind of just made this really weird layout in the room and would have probably wasted a good few square feet of the space that we've got available.
For reference, our office is about a 3,000 square foot office across three floors, but because it's an old listed cutlery works, there's no squares.
It's all in a weird
right angle to the entire building. And I think I was very underwhelmed when I saw the first designs. I think they'd got the right feel.
Mm-hmm.
They'd understood what our culture was like and how we want to manifest that. But in terms of the practicalities of it, it would have been amazing if we had a modern faceless office block, which was just one big square of space. And I think all those little elements would have worked very well in there, like the core booths. They had like a pagoda for meetings in.
Yes.
But in reality, when you looked at it and you imagine yourself walking through the door, you'd like walk through the door and then have to sidestep like a crab.
I was envisioning how much dust would collect in all those random little corners that were being created. Yeah. Whilst it would have looked amazing, like on initial glance, as soon as you started looking in detail and like say, imagining that 3D space, you could start to pick out a lot of different problems with it.
Yeah. And I think that jumped out to me quite quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got the quote that went with it.
Yes, and then the quote came through. We were, I suppose, a little bit anal in what we asked for. And we'll come on to this a little bit later on and why we asked for it. But we needed very clear cost breakdowns of what was being put into the office, how much each element was costing, so that we could decide which ones were worthwhile for us, which ones provided the right benefit versus cost.
Absolutely. A lot of our decisions will be based on not the cheapest, but getting good value for money out of what we buy.
And that first version consisted of five different, very badly formatted spreadsheets with names of random products. Sometimes there were just product codes in there, the cost for them. It didn't reference where they were or what they were part of in the office. It didn't even really tell us which floor they were on the spreadsheet.
Yeah.
And it was an absolute nightmare to try and decipher them.
But also, we'd set them a budget when we went away after that initial discussion.
We'd set them a £100,000 budget.
£100,000. They came in just a little over.
little over £160,000,
plus the pagoda in the garden,
plus the £30,000, yeah, garden pagoda meeting room. Yeah.
Yeah. And while it would have been nice to spend £190,000.
Yeah, it would have been lovely.
We didn't have that money.
Did not. So straight away, yeah, there was, we'd gone from having this great first experience of them coming down, taking all the measurements.
And they really understood what we were trying to create.
Yeah, getting loads of photos, spending a good couple of hours talking to us about colours, taking away our brand documents, everything, to then come back with a weird design, a weird layout, and undecipherable spreadsheets that event that brought us to, you know, basically twice the amount of money that we'd budgeted to spend on this project.
And we knew things were going to overrun and cost more, so that £100,000, there was contingency after that, but not that much to start with.
Not the entire budget over again, no.
No.
That's a little bit of a too much, too big of a contingency. If you're budgeting twice the budget as contingency, someone fucked up.
Just might be extra cautious.
And here's where we differ. But no, we were really frustrated at that point.
Yeah.
We thought we'd found the right partner, but we were hitting a lot of friction points, especially talking to them about these issues and getting a lot of rebuttals, talking about how we'd change some of the things, those pockets that I mentioned, and how we'd move things around, not have freestanding call booths that cost us a couple of grand each, and instead building like dedicated dividing space for
They also need a lot, like a freestanding one sounds great, but it needs a lot of room around it.
And you got to plug it in.
And you've got to plug it in. And there just wasn't the room in our office for that.
We could fit like one of those in.
Yeah.
And we proposed having three of them in a row, nicely built in with proper dividing walls and desks within each one. And they said, no, can't do that.
Yeah.
And we said, yes, you can. And they said, nope, can't do that. And we said, yes, you can. Now we're going to go somewhere else. Thank you.
Yeah. And I think it was a friend of a friend who said, oh, you should go and talk to these people.
Yep, that's right. Someone that had met at a Chamber of Commerce event.
Yeah.
We're pretty active in the local community, done a lot of work for companies around Sheffield as well. So, you know, we were able to work with a local supplier, which was a pro to start talking to them as well. And essentially it meant we had to begin all of those conversations again.
Yeah. It'd be worth talking about how we got our employees involved at this point, how we got the rest of the team excited and started to get their feedback.
Yeah,
they would be the ones that would benefit from this.
Absolutely. You know, it was really important for us to get buy-in from them to this whole project, especially with the significant cost to the company that was coming with it, the significant shift in how their working space that they'd known and loved for so many years was going to change. They needed to have input on it so that they felt like they were part of the process as well.
And we also weren't going to do this every year. This was a once in
a decade project. Absolutely.
We wanted to
get as
right
much feedback
time.
And as much information as possible, different perspectives and viewpoints as possible. So we actually solicited using that initial blueprint that I've just mentioned, with all the, even despite all the little issues and niggles that we found with it, we used that and took it to an away day that we ran to introduce the company to our general overall rebrand. It's a perfect time to do it. Say, hey, here's our new visual identity, our new tone of voice, logo, color palette, all that jazz. Actually, here's a really exciting thing. We're doing the office as well. Here's the blueprints. Scribble away, give us your feedback, tear it apart and let us know what you want.
So we went to printers, got them all printed out on huge sheets of paper.
Yeah, it was like big A1 sheets of paper that we stuck to the walls for the
away
day.
Gave them all post-it notes and said, let us know what you think.
Yeah. And we received some...
mixed feedback.
Interesting feedback.
It was all very positive.
It was all very positive. But
there was some super, like, superhero lair type.
Yeah, superhero or supervillain, I'm not quite sure.
Yeah.
I mean... the most important thing that was on everybody's mind was drinks.
Yeah.
We got asked for everything from, you know, a fully stocked bar to a post-mix machine for fizzy drinks or sodas to be produced for our international brethren, just to specify there.
Don't forget about the in-house barista.
The in-house barista as well. Yep, that was an important one. Not sure how we could build one of those in. Yeah. So yeah, beverages were pretty high on the priority list.
I think that was about 8 or 9 pieces of feedback were all about where the drinks were, where the ice machine was going to be.
So if there's a top tip to share with anybody listening, make sure they've got plenty of things for your team to drink.
Yeah. And then there was a couple of aesthetic things.
Yeah.
So some of the carpet choices we got looked too grandma housey.
Actual quote, carpet feels like my grandma's house.
Yeah. Wasn't the vibe we were going for.
So not what you want to hear on our designs, no. But that's why we solicit feedback.
Yeah. Games room, space, and it comes back to the conversation we had in part one about different spaces you have, your first space, second space, and third space. And people wanted space where they could have social time with the team, because now they work hybrid, they don't necessarily get that time.
We have a phenomenal collection of classic gaming consoles on the shelf in our boardroom as well. And people wanted some space to be able to plug those in and use them.
Yeah.
Technology is a different matter to be able to connect those old bits of gear up, especially with modern
televisions.
It's quite a challenge. Yeah. Threading lots of different connectors and adapters together until you get the desired result. But yeah, having that third space and the ability to blend social with work with the people that they spend a lot of time with was an important thing to the team, clearly.
There were also some really helpful things about the spaces and the desks. Wanted to make sure every desk had double monitors. And there was a talk about sit-stand desks, so people could have standing desks in places in the office as well.
Absolutely. Ultimately, we did choose not to go for any of those things, mainly because we've got tons of really good, high-quality desks, chairs, you know, ergonomic functional equipment anyway. Throwing all of that out just to replace it with something made absolutely no sense to us. Maybe in a few years' time when they're all worn out and they need replacing, we'll go for some nice swishy sit stand options. But for now they were absolutely fine. So we could spend the budget on more important things.
As well as a cost saving element, there was also the element of wanting to not just chuck everything out into landfill and then replace it with shiny new stuff for the sake of it.
For sure. Sustainability is a really important part of what we focus on at Evoluted with our CSR officer. So binning a shitload of perfectly good desks, monitors, chairs, office equipment, furniture would have been an absolute sustainability nightmare.
Yeah.
So yeah, we had lots of interesting and useful feedback at that point. Collated it all together, lots of scribbles on the blueprints, lots of ideas of how we could change things. And the team felt like they'd had, you know, a good bit of opportunity to input into what the future of the office was going to be.
And I think what was really nice was it triggered a lot of conversations where people imagined themselves in that office and how they were going to use it day to day. And I think that is ultimately what they needed, was to make sure we build something which they are going to see themselves coming to and enjoying.
Yeah, exactly the same way as we were trying to visualize how we'd move around the space. They need to be able to do the same thing and see how their teams can come in and they can collaborate on client project X together and move between the kitchen to, you know, a meeting room to, you know, a big whiteboard where they can sketch things out. Really, really important part of it.
So this was the point where we went back to the original company with all this feedback and got an awful lot of pushback of, no, or
there were way more no's than there were not even yeses, but let's look at that.
And there was one point where we went back on the same thing 4 or 5 times, and it was just,
I remember I'd even sketched it out on my iPad over the blueprints with picture evidence of where something would fit, measured up, spec'd, and they went, nope, can't put that there. And that's the point where we went, right, screw this. Let's go chat to that other company. Yeah. We've been recommended. They're local. They're in Sheffield. They've been used by other companies, not just for like offices, but for commercial and retail units as well. I think they were doing one for Next at the time on Fargate near us. So, you know, logical choice for us to have a chat with them. And they were superb.
I think the biggest thing was it wasn't the fact that they said no, the other company, it was an unwillingness to have a conversation about how it could.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a new company came in and they were down at our office more often than they weren't.
Yeah. And that's the benefit of having them nearby. Yeah. They were a 15-minute walk away and straight away they were like, yep, we're going to pop over. We're going to take some of our own measurements. It's a very similar process to the first iteration.
Yeah.
But with a much more customer service focused hat on instead of a sales focused hat.
Yeah.
Their designer came down, not just the sales guy. You know, we had lots of chats. They got a real feel for the building. They, you know, talked about how much they loved the kind of the original aesthetics and the details that were still left over from when it was a steel mill a couple of hundred years ago. It was a world of difference, that experience.
And we had like walkthroughs of where things would be, laying them out, kind of stepping them, walking them out in the floor and seeing all that, and that really helped us make sure that what we were getting was the right flow for the building.
Importantly, they immediately understood the issues that we brought up with the first company, the options that we were considering as alternatives, and agreed that yes, that is entirely possible. And I'm really glad that we were strict and stuck to that vision we had and didn't just accept that someone else would tell us, no, you can't do that. And we went, okay, then guess we can't.
Do you think we were nightmare clients?
Maybe. I don't think we were that bad. I think we were strong in pushing back on things that we knew were right.
Yeah. We had a vision.
Yeah. I wasn't telling somebody how to construct something.
No.
I wasn't telling them how to do an electrical job or what legislation they needed to follow. It was a very good job, because otherwise this would have burnt down a long time ago. But we were pushing back and saying, we know what our vision is. We know what we want to get from this space. We've got a picture in our mind's eye of what our office needs to become and what we want it to become. And I think if, maybe it's a bit nightmare clientish, but if we'd have caved and listened to the inverted commas experts, we'd have ended up with a very different space and a lot more problems with it as well.
I think it's similar to how we do development work in terms of we're experts in the web and how we build something, but what we're not experts in is clients' businesses. So you've got to listen. Like, we had no idea, as you say, how to construct it, what it go, but we knew very well what our team wanted from the space, and that's what we stuck to our guns on. And the same way, that's what we have to listen to our clients for when we build a project is,
yeah,
make sure that we are the experts in how you build it, but the what and the why is something we have to heavily lean on our clients for and understand.
It's been a really positive opportunity for reflection on how we operate as a business as well, yeah, being the client and speaking to someone and understanding a very similar service-based sales approach, what works, what doesn't, and how it makes you feel on both sides of the table. So that was a very good part of this for, yeah, us, actually.
So got the new company in, did us designs, gave us a quote. Wasn't the 100 grand we were after, but it was much closer.
Much closer, yes.
Turns out office refits are way more expensive.
Never realised that, renovating, yeah, a 3,000 square foot building would be expensive.
The price of a small house.
Uh-huh. Rather naive of us, I think. Although we did manage to bring it in budget eventually and still get a fantastic result. Yeah, no, we ended up working with that second company. They were great. They did the designs. They did more renders. I think they did about 4 or 5 variations for us eventually as we tweaked things as we went through, talked about different requirements, looked at lots of material swatches and things with them as well to decide stuff like the kitchen, an overall great experience. But yeah, then it came to asking them for those quotes.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, similarly, we did still end up with a lot of spreadsheets with very ambiguous line items explaining what everything was.
Yeah.
So I think that is probably just the downside of how these systems and these projects work.
I think a huge part of it is about building a moat around their services, and they don't want to tell you exactly what product they've got because you're just going to go away to the wholesaler and buy that product yourself. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Part of what they've done is build an IP around the fact they've curated what products they put in. But it did make it a lot harder for us.
Yeah.
We got to a good point with our designer and sales there where they're a lot more transparent about what they're providing us, and quotes, everything was broken down by floor, broken down by space and within each floor, which meant we could then start looking at making the hard decisions about that 120k quote, how we got that down by at least 20k, because we wanted some contingency in it.
Absolutely. And like I said earlier, it feeds into being a bit of a nightmare client, but we didn't ask for it in that much detail. Essentially what we wanted was be able to justify the costs of different things. I don't need to know how much each piece of plasterboard costs. That wasn't what we were asking for. Didn't want to know how much a fire alarm costs to install.
No.
Or a smoke sensor, sorry, the fire alarm system would, because that would be quite expensive. The point was, I wanted to be able to evaluate, is this fixture and area we're creating and what's going into that going to be worth what we're spending, or is there a different way to approach this? So yeah, that came up in things like, you know, making evaluations of stuff like boardroom chairs.
Boardroom chairs.
Do you remember how much those boardroom chairs cost, Sam?
I seem to remember the...
Eight chairs.
I think it was about $8,000 for the chairs and another $5,000 for the table.
I wish. I fucking wish. 8 boardroom chairs, £12,000, and a further $10,000 for the table. And this is why we asked for the line item breakdown instead of just going, it's within budget, yeah, let's crack on. Doing that, we saved 22K that could be put towards something else, like this studio, like the green walls that we've got downstairs, like better signage and little details around the place.
There was a point, though, after we told them that we didn't want them to get office chairs, and I went and sourced them myself, where we tried to order them about four or five different times.
Oh, God. Every time we ordered them, they were either out of stock or they only had six of the eight that we needed, or they just cancelled the order and told us, didn't tell us anything at all. Yeah. But, you know, we knew those things needed replacing. The old chairs looked tatty. The pneumatics were failing. But
yeah, we had a couple where you sat on and then you sank slowly down.
Yeah.
Didn't really give you the authority in a meeting.
Yeah. Hi, welcome to Evoluted.
Yeah, it wasn't the vibe.
Awkward. So we knew we needed to replace them, but yeah, eventually we just sourced them for ourselves for a few hundred quid, which was great. Really important reason why we did that whole process.
I don't think they're quite as fancy as the ones that were in the quote.
Can you tell?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
That we end up with John Lewis, 90 quid chairs.
Yeah.
And everyone remarks how amazing the chairs are in the boardroom.
Absolutely.
Sometimes I let them into the secret and sometimes I just smile and say thank you. Yeah, it was things like that where it wasn't a project where we just wanted someone to come into a big empty space, sort it out for us and give us a bill at the end of it. We wanted to make sure it was right for us. And part of that was choosing the bits we wanted to do ourselves.
Yeah, furnishings are absolutely something that we can, and to anybody listening, you probably should try and source yourself over time, because you can look at different options. You can look at, you know, price versus value. You can, you know, spend a much longer amount of time finding the things that are perfect for what you want to put those finishing touches in. But the structural and the decorative element and the kind of fixed aesthetic was where a partner adds real value.
Yeah.
The things that are harder to get sourced, like, you know, the special signage or custom made things, the kitchens, et cetera, they can get access to things that we wouldn't normally be able to by jumping on Wayfair or John Lewis or somewhere else.
I think there was also another element of, it wasn't a brand new office. We already had loads of banks of chairs and desks. We already had a boardroom table. So we had elements which we wanted to make sure stayed. So if there was a big item on a quote for something which we already had, we wanted to make sure we weren't just chucking something out.
Slice that straight off.
Yeah. Like our boardroom table is made out of like church pews and it's a huge, great big thing. Get on to our debate about it later, but you need to make sure you're replacing things for a purpose and not just replacing something that's really good sturdy quality with something.
For sure. Don't want to replace something with that kind of history behind it with an IKEA table.
No,
absolutely not. Doing this whole process with a line item spreadsheets was also very important to help us work out what had been missed. And now when you're getting billed £100,000 for something, you'd think that people would be careful about making sure everything was on there. Things were missed. There was a shelf, the only shelf actually in the kitchen area missing that didn't go inside a cupboard. That was missing. The entire set of cupboards from our first floor.
Yeah.
Which, you know, nicely stored all of our stationery and spare equipment and things in, were missing from the costs.
Unfortunately, it doesn't mean they were going to be free, right?
No, it means we would have just not had them. They wouldn't have put them in there and gone, oh, whoopsie daisy, we forgot to charge you for that, guys. It's on the house.
Or worse, they put them in later and we still get a bill for it.
Yeah, and we get a second bill for down the line.
That we're not expecting. So it was really important to go through and check. And I think we were probably a little more demanding. We were definitely.
I've got no doubt that their team had a massive moan about us.
Yeah. Do you think our pictures were on dartboards?
Probably, yeah. I think they probably got old equipment out, pasted our faces onto it and smashed it with golf clubs, to be perfectly honest. I would have. But
the amount of questions of this door frame you quoted for here. What's it? Where is it? What's it for?
But I'm sorry, Chris, Saskia, it was such an important process for us. Thank you so much for putting up with us. And you could end up with quite a lot of our money in the end.
Yeah, Chris is upset. He's moved jobs.
He has.
Yeah, run away.
Uh-oh. Building a rep. Particularly important was making sure that we didn't then have to go back to our board and ask for more money too. That would have been very embarrassing.
Yes, that was for us very, very big and early project in our tenure as MD.
Yes.
We didn't want to ask for money and then go back and go,
please, sir, can I have some more?
That was not happening. We were going to make sure that we got it in the right budget.
Yep. The accountants did give us some great advice, though, just to round this section off before we discuss a different topic. Top tip for People Over Pixels listeners today. If you do have a project like this and you want to get those line items and you want to get this really, really careful breakdown that makes you seem like a bit of a nightmare client, makes you seem a little bit anal, Blame the accountants. Tell them the accountants need the line item breakdown for tax purposes. Shift all the blame to a nameless bean counter. Job done. You're welcome. We've talked about the process of finding a partner. Yeah. We've talked about getting the designs. We've talked about going through those quotes. What we haven't talked about is where we clashed, where we butted heads throughout this process, because I remember there were quite a few conflicting opinions about where that 100 grand should be spent.
Yes. The issue we're going to have here is I can't actually remember where they were.
You've got a great talent here.
People would argue otherwise. I think it's a great talent. So once the conflict's happened and we've had the argument, the debate, once it's settled, it tends to just leave my mind.
Complete blank.
Yeah. No idea what we argued about. So you might have jogged my memory a little.
Yeah. Bet your wife absolutely loves that.
That might be up for debate.
Have an argument. Brings it back up. Can't remember what we spoke about. I've moved past it. We reached a resolution. It's done. No, I remember quite a few things. I shall jog your memory. So one thing I pushed for quite strongly and got vetoed equally strongly is to do this studio space. Yeah. That we've got now. You know, this used to be the junk room. It was stacked from floor to ceiling with all sorts of crap. Christmas trees, mixed baubles, old audio equipment, all sorts of random shit.
The worst bit about this room was when we did actually come to clear it out, none of it was useful.
No, it all went in the bin, all went in the skip.
This room, which is quite a sizable room, was just full of rubbish.
But I said, let's get it cleared. Let's get it tidied. Let's get it decorated. We knew we wanted to start the podcast. We knew we wanted to start recording. Let's get it done so we can get straight in here and start using it.
It's starting to come back to me now.
But Sam said, no, let's do it later on. And that has actually set us back by probably about 5 months on launching the podcast.
Yeah. I think at the time, the bill for this room was quite a significant bill.
It was going to be about 10 grand.
It was an extra 10 grand on the build. I think I was probably wrong on that now. The amount of time it's taken us to clear this room afterwards. I mean, there's no way we could have done it at the same time.
Yeah. Now, we haven't spent 10 grand on it. Like, we spent a few grand on equipment. You know, we've done a bit of decorating and painting in here for now, but it could have been a lot better and a lot faster.
Yeah, so I definitely saved us money, not time.
Mm.
And it involved a lot more trips to IKEA and painting the walls ourselves. All stuff which was probably not a worthwhile use of our time.
No.
I think at the time, the 10 grand, I was like, oh, it's a lot of money. But definitely, yeah, I think that was probably one where I made a bit of a mistake.
That's 1-0, Giorgio.
It's all right. Hopefully I come out better than this. I think now you're jogging my memory. One of the moments.
Here it comes.
Yeah. Now it's all coming flooding back. We had a long discussion about the toilets downstairs, didn't we?
The toilets of all things.
The toilets in the bathrooms. Yes, the toilets. Yeah. They'd obviously not been done in about 15 years, I think.
Mm. What is the lifetime on a toilet?
Well, I think the lifetime stops when you start seeing cracks on it and the toilet seats don't stay on it anymore.
They just needed tightening. So I didn't see an issue with the toilets as they were. It's a toilet. You go in, you take a dump, you wash your hands. The extractor fan works well enough to get rid of the smell. Jobs are good. It's not the key part of the office.
I feel like everyone really needed that rundown of how you go to the toilet. Thanks for sharing with us.
I mean, considering how loud some people are, like that's putting it quite lightly. Racehorse comes to mind when some people use the bathrooms here. We should have put soundproofing in.
Shall we move on?
Let's move on. No, we haven't finished this discussion, no. I will concede here, actually, and give you an equalising point.
Excellent.
That now they've been done, I do value that they're a much nicer, brighter space to go into. We got some nice mirrors in there as well to make it feel better. You know, you don't want to feel like you're being shoved in the chokey when you go to the bathroom. So you win on that one. I'm glad we got the bathrooms redone.
You do get half a point back, though, because we stood in IKEA looking at mirrors. And I was absolutely insistent that this mirror would not fit. And we gave someone a ring in the office and went, can you go measure this up? They measured it up.
And you still wouldn't believe it.
I still wouldn't concede. Brought it back, knowing that they had a good 45-day return policy. Looks great.
Yeah, it does. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
We've taken a full-length mirror, flipped it on its side 90 degrees, so it's horizontal along the room, a small room. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Lovely full-length mirror.
Genius.
Yeah, I was seething when I was getting my drill out to put those up. I was definitely wrong.
There's extra holes in the wall now.
Yeah.
We had a lot of discussion going back to the boardroom table and the costs there. I quite wanted to replace it at the time.
Yeah.
I thought it looked quite old and dated. I appreciate what it's made of, the material, the history, but with everything we're investing in the look and the aesthetic that we're going for, it is quite old and tired. It's been battered around when it was used as a church pew. It's been battered around in place in situ as a boardroom table. To me, it felt like time to repair, to replace.
I would agree at the time, it with the room looking a little drab, it like exaggerated that a little, I think. Now, I've been promising to take it outside and sand it for...
6 months?
6 months
longer
now. Yeah. But even without doing so, because the whole room looks nice, it's just part of the character it's lived in, I think, now.
What are the shows where they come in and they like salvage old things like that and they repair things for you? Can we put a petition out through People Over Pixels to get one of them to come in and do like a renovation job? You know, boardroom table used to be old church pews, renovated, now it looks bloody lovely.
I think you need a bit of a sub story behind it, and Sam can't pull his finger out and take it outside for a sanding. Probably isn't the sub story you're looking for.
Sounds like a euphemism, take it outside for a sand-in. Moving on. The next two points that I've written down that you pushed back on.
Gosh, you really hold a grudge, don't you?
I'm just like hammering home that I'm clearly been the designer in all of this.
Oh,
you bring function and operation.
I will not dispute that. Not one bit.
You initially pushed back on the absolutely gorgeous green walls that we've got on all three floors of the office now.
I did.
You said, they're too expensive, we shouldn't do it.
Do you know how much a square metre of green wall costs?
Yes, and it is a little bit ridiculous, but now that they're there, could you imagine us doing anything different?
No.
They fit perfectly behind our logo signage, behind the backlit illuminated night in our light in our boardroom that, you know, if we're on a conference call, it's just got the good logo, it's got the green wall, it all comes together and creates this beautiful backdrop, you know, on the chimney breast on the first floor that ties everything together and gives that continuity.
What do you want from me? Do you want a, you're right, Giorgio.
I'm saying that that's 2-1 now.
Fine.
Because nothing actually happened with the boardroom table yet, so you don't get a point for that.
Fine. Just in the hope of getting a point back.
Okay.
Rewiring the office for faster internet.
Okay, fine. Yeah, I'll give you that one.
We had a bit of a debate. I'm only going to give myself half a point here because I regretted it to my core when doing it. So the office has Wi-Fi to it. It was a bit hit and miss when we had a busy office. So when we did the refit, I was like, right, we're going to make sure there is never going to be a complaint about internet connectivity ever again in this office. So I decided to go and get some quotes to rewire the whole office with proper network cabling throughout all and Wi-Fi, and got a price which made me fall off my chair.
Yeah.
So then I foolishly went, I can do it cheaper than that.
It's a classic dad thing to do.
It is a bit. And enlisted one of our developers to help us. He was very enthusiastic at the start. I'm not sure he shared the same enthusiasm when we finished. But I tell you what, I didn't need to go to the gym for a couple of weeks of getting up and crawling. My muscles ached like hell.
Yeah.
Like rewiring this office. And I don't think I'll ever do it again.
No.
But
it was worth doing.
I think it was worth doing.
Yeah.
There is Wi-Fi properly across all the floors. There's 10 gigabit connections in
properly
every room.
Future-proofed.
If we want to live stream in 8K, which no one wants to see us in 8K, but if you did, that is possible from every room on multiple streams now. So I'm going to claim a point back.
I'll allow it. I'm going to claw back one final point.
You can try.
I've got to win this competition, right? It's currently 2-2. I need to get this to be 3-2.
Not that you're competitive.
Not that I'm competitive. We had a huge back and forth about the dividing walls being built downstairs to put in our meeting pods and an extra meeting room. You were convinced that they were going to block all of the light from the front of the building and we were going to have a dark, dingy dungeon of an office. And when we were done, how did it look, Sam?
Lovely and light.
Lovely and light. Streaming through, illuminating the place.
Yeah. I still don't know where the light comes from, though.
Who cares?
It's just Magic.
If it's magic light, if it's real light, I don't care. The point is, I get a point.
Yeah, I was very concerned about putting more walls downstairs because it already felt like a really dark space. But somehow we've put more walls in there and there is still more light than there used to be.
Ha ha! Winner!
I think it's sorcery.
Competition aside, I think that it was really healthy for us to have those conflicts throughout the process, to go back and forth on what we wanted, didn't want, have those differing perspectives, the same way as we got our team to contribute their ideas as well. Because ultimately, as we've just discussed, if we had not had those conversations, it would probably look a lot more empty in the office.
Yeah.
There would not be the technical infrastructure in place for the office, and we'd all be using cracked toilet seats.
Yeah.
And on that bombshell, on to the next section. I don't think either of us anticipated the level of project management that was going to be required for this and some of the roadblocks that we were going to encounter along the way.
So in my mind, you hire a company to come do the office refit. They go, no problem. We have a site manager. They'll deal with everything.
You go to Ibiza for a few weeks. When you come back, it'll be done.
That's sort of how it's portrayed, right?
Yeah.
And then Ash turned around to us and said, you're going to want to be in to keep an eye on them.
Dad said we needed to be here.
Yeah. So we were here. They were doing floor at a time. So we managed to hide ourselves away on the top floor.
The week before they started, we shoved every single thing in a 3-story office into the boardroom.
I think the week before is a little generous.
a couple of days before.
No.
Wasn't it the weekend?
I seem to remember it was a Friday night.
Mm.
There was me, you, a couple of our team, and I think somehow I've managed to con my wife into helping pack everything away and took it away upstairs. And yeah, it was a bit of a chaotic pile in. So we came in on first day on the Monday morning, couldn't even find a mug to make a coffee.
Dear Lord, no. But we basically spent 12 weeks like that. We spent 12 weeks with boxes piled high, shoved into a single room, digging through things whenever you needed to find a teaspoon or a fork to eat your dinner with or a pen because yours just ran out. And God, it was hell.
Yeah, I think you ended up bringing a bowl in from home, I think, at one point.
Yeah.
We couldn't find the bowl.
Yep.
It was ultimate startup vibes.
Yeah, you have some rosy tinted glasses around that, I think, of it being startup vibes. I just saw it as uncoordinated, chaotic hell.
Yeah. Calm mind did not happen, did it?
No. But it was super valuable for us to be there during that time.
So within about 5 minutes of us sat down on upstairs on the first day,
there were questions.
Head pops in and going, hi, got a question. What do we do about this? Or do you know what the switch does? Or I think we've broken the power.
Yeah, that did happen. There was a moment where putting up the signage in our boardroom, they drilled 5 separate holes through the same horizontal power cable and knocked out power to the entire office. You were on holiday at the time.
I was on holiday.
And you messaged me going, what's going on? I can see you're spending an awful lot of money at a coffee shop.
Yeah, the notifications came up on our accounting app
of
you spending coffee after coffee, and I was like, failed. Not normal behavior for Giorgio.
There was no light, there was no power, so we had no heat. There was no light for me to see by. I couldn't go to the bathrooms because there were no light in there. Couldn't plug my laptop in, no Wi-Fi, and I was absolutely rinsing through my data allowance.
You would have thought after the first time they noticed there was a cable there, and
God knows how on 5 attempts they didn't blow themselves up, to be perfectly honest. Miracles happened that day.
Maybe electricity's not as dangerous as people think.
Don't listen to that, kids. Electricity is very dangerous.
Yes.
Stick your finger in a socket and you'll find out. But that's why it was so important for us to be on hand for all that time. Throughout the project, it must have been like every 45 minutes somebody would be in and asking a question, clarifying something, double checking against the designs, the renders, the blueprints.
I seem to remember I had a quite important client meeting. So they finished the ground floor and we were starting to use that floor. I had an important client meeting coming in, just sat them down in the meeting room, and the site manager sticks his head going, where do you want this? I need to decide now. And it wasn't one of those things which could just be moved later. We have a rug in the boardroom, and in the middle of it is a cutout for the data.
The infamous box. Rug.
Yeah. And it was basically, you need to decide exactly where this rug's going right now, or we're going to cut it in the wrong place. And it's not our fault. It's the way it was worded. So I had to explain to our client, I'm really sorry. I need to go and look at a rug. Make yourself at home. Get yourself a cuppa.
Know that you are valued.
Yeah. And I'll be back in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fortunately, very understanding.
Good.
But there were moments like that where if we were at home,
yep,
we would just come in once a week, check on how it's going.
Yep.
And there'd be loads of things which were in the wrong place or decisions we weren't happy with. And they would have been very irreversible at that point.
Yeah. You know, if we found out that we needed to replace all of our electrical boards and fuse boxes, stuff like that, that if yeah. left to chance and just either ignored or got on with without checking could have
ended yeah, up. Yeah, I don't think they would have ever ignored them. They were very yeah. thorough in what they did.
Absolutely. But it saved us a lot of difficulties.
And probably a lot of cost.
And a lot of cost, yes. Yeah.
Shall we talk about the paint?
Yes, I was going to say, it didn't save us from everything. Some stuff slipped through the cracks.
They'd been in the office Monday. I think we'd been off at client site or something on the Monday. So neither of us had been in. I walk in Tuesday morning and immediately I'm like, something's wrong in here.
Uncanny valley just
yeah, like, it was just...
What's changed? Something doesn't
was
feel off.
And I was like, oh, they've put paint on the walls. And then I was like, oh, they've put paint on the walls. The colour of blue they'd used, so a lot of our branding is around a blue colour, was headache inducing blue.
Yeah.
I looked at it and went, oh, I think this is the wrong, it's definitely the wrong colour of blue. And then I talked myself down. I was like, no, it's just me. I'm very picky in what I want.
Then I arrived.
You arrived and went,
ooh. Instant migraine.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was so bright and deeply pigmented. It was powerful.
Yeah.
But God, it hurt the eyes.
And then Ash walked in and that was the final straw when he went, what the fuck's this?
Yep. I was almost willing to leave it and go, can we live with it and not cause trouble by saying...
That's what I was hoping
Excuse me, sir, you've painted an entire floor wrong.
Yeah, so after the two of you had come in and told me it's not the right blue, I decided I wasn't being daft about it. So picked up the phone, went... Can you come down? I think we've got the wrong blue. And within about half an hour, the overall project manager or program manager turned up.
Project manager, designer, and the sales guy, who doesn't even need to be involved at this point because he's signed the contract and the cash is flowing through, were on site with swatches, with sample pots, going like, let's get this sorted, let's get it resolved.
Yeah, I felt so bad.
Oh, yeah, felt awful.
I got some stick from the decorators probably for about a week after that.
Death stares, yeah.
Yeah, they were really nice decorators.
They were lovely guys, but they did not like they you after that.
Yeah, I kept a low profile for a little while.
I'm very glad that I kept my mouth shut and let you take the flak for that one, to be honest. Yeah,
thanks.
But great service to get that resolved. But yeah, even with us being there pretty much every day for 11, 12 weeks... Stuff like that still slipped through the cracks. Now imagine if we hadn't been there every day.
Well, fortunately, they'd only painted two walls at that point. If they painted the entire office, three floors of it, I don't think they would have been as eager to help.
No. There may have been a few more complaints from them. So yeah, top tip, be there.
Be there.
Don't rely on somebody else to project manage. Yeah. Like, don't go to Ibiza. Don't bugger off and have some summer sun. If you're going to have a project like this done, you've got to be present. You've got to answer the questions. You've got to be part of it to make sure it comes out and achieves that vision that you've got.
Unless you don't care.
Unless you don't care, in which case, sod it. Why are you spending the money in the first place? I think we probably got a few things wrong as well.
Just a few.
Just a few. Not infallible.
Definitely some lessons we learned along the way.
Absolutely. For me, going back to the point of being there, all day, every day, for most of the build, didn't appreciate how much of a time drain it would be. Having that constant disruption, I went weeks without getting a proper day of work done. And like 12 weeks, it's basically a quarter.
Yeah.
Right? For a whole quarter of our year, I probably got about 2 hours of productive work done a day.
Yeah, we ended up taking it shifts, didn't we?
Yeah.
So one of us came in, then the other one.
Mm-hmm.
Because... it allowed us to get our heads down and get some work done on our non-office day.
Yeah. So that wasn't great. Probably set us back quite a long way on a few things, but it was an important project.
Yeah.
Accept it.
And I think the phone calls and the discussions, if we hadn't been here on site and had to have it later, would have been a lot harder. And as it happened, they finished ahead of time.
They did, yeah. They finished a week ahead, yeah. Which was amazing. So, absolutely brilliant.
Saved herself a week there.
Yep. It gave us an extra week before we brought the team back into the office to see the place so that we could get to IKEA. We got a load of those little finishing touches. We got new plates, bowls, mugs, equipment, all sorts of stuff. And most importantly, it gave us a week to do all the goddamn wiring. I remember how long it took to wire up all of those monitors and do all of the careful cable management across all of the desks. And then people came in and ruined it all.
So if you're looking at your desk and there's cables all over it, just send a picture to Giorgio and he won't be able to cope with it. And he'll
spent
10 minutes.
4 days sorting all the cable management, thinking, you can plug in there. You've got your USB-Cs to plug into the monitors here. What more do you need? But for some reason, people feel the need to go furking around and digging cables out from underneath the desks. Minor grumble.
Hear the rage from here.
I'm seething. Can you hear my blood pressure rising? I think we got some stuff wrong on the initial brief as well, right? You know, we had a bit of a grumble earlier about the first blueprints we got back and the designs and not being happy with some bits. But we were probably at fault in some ways.
I don't think we knew what we wanted.
No. And I can see another close likeness to how things must be for our clients as well in this. It's really difficult to know precisely what you want from a project like this until you have something visual in front of you. I think very few people have that ability to see it all and visualize it before something is tangibly there for you to look at.
Even if it's a case of you look at it and go, no, not that.
Yep. Just as important to know what you want as it is to know what you don't want. Like I say, similar to our website design work, clients give us a brief. They can think that they've given a really thorough brief, tone of voice, look and feel, brand, everything. But they can't truly articulate what they want until they've got that first reference point to work from. And sometimes that first reference point is, oh God, no, that is not what we want at all. But it's useful. You work from it and you go, excellent. Now we know what we don't want to do. We can move forwards with what we do want to do.
I think we could have spent more time looking at other offices we liked, going and visiting other people and working out what works and what doesn't work for them. I think throughout all of it, though, you were the one that carries a vision. I knew what I wanted in functional. I knew how I wanted to move through the space, what areas and what functions I wanted in spaces. But when it came to the visual end of it, I think I basically just took a back seat and left it to you.
Yeah, it was super important for us to collaborate on that together. Like, I did not think about the technical and functional aspects enough, you know, like recabling the whole place, where we pass cables through, how we, you know, integrate the different tech that we need for conferencing into the different rooms where it needs to be. I probably would have done all that afterwards and gone, guess we'll just have all those cables on display. Put some trunking in.
If you wonder what irks Georgia, it's cables.
Yeah, cables. Goddamn cables. My girlfriend hears me swear about cables at least once a day.
Once a day?
Yeah. Like, any cables that are just in the way, they frustrate the hell out of me. Should probably go and see a psychiatrist about that. Something we really fucked up on was not measuring where the TV should sit on the wall.
Yes.
I think we got a little bit ahead of ourselves on that one. Like, almost having the project finished and going, yeah, let's get everything in place. We put the TV too low on the wall so that the TV didn't actually cover the socket.
I would say we put the sockets too high.
Okay.
The TV is in the right place for the room.
Either way, somebody fucked up the measurement.
Absolutely. It was me. So they were putting the sockets in that meeting room and he went, where do you want them? Is it here or okay? I took one quick look and went, yeah, that's fine. It was not fine. We've had to pay an electrician to come back and move the sockets because no one wants a nice TV mounted on the wall and then 2 foot above it, a plug socket and an HDMI cable.
Yeah, yeah. It kind of ruins the aesthetic when you put all that work in. So 8 months on, we've now moved that socket and have polyfilled over the massive gap in the plasterboard and we'll need to repaint.
In case any of you missed out, that's Giorgio's dig that I haven't repainted yet.
Aggro. The last thing that I think we could have done better and I would do differently again next time, is think about all those little extra design features and finishing touches before the build finishes. So we waited until they finished ahead of schedule. We had that 1 week period where we rushed out and we went to IKEA like 5 times, ordered a load of stuff online, tried to think about all those little bits that went in. You know, we got some photos printed of our team to go on the wall. We got some extra signage and bits done. We got some nice new plates and things to go into our kitchen area. I would have started doing that a lot earlier and started banking it all up ready to go instead of having that massive rush at the end.
Yeah, there was probably about 5 IKEA trips in about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Should have had a loyalty card, really.
And worse still, it's been about 8 months now at time of recording since we finished the build, probably more. And we still haven't got around to doing all of those things. There's still stuff that we know we want to sort out from an aesthetic perspective, the little finishing touches, extra little bits, stuff like murals we want to get on the wall, extra like signage and lighting that we want up, sanding and refinishing the boardroom table.
Dig to.
But until they listen to this, the team have no idea what's missing. It's good enough. It feels great to be in. They've got no idea. Sadly, it's just weighing on our minds and we've sat here thinking about all the things that are absent and still need doing.
Yeah. I think all those bits which we could have done at the same time, we should have probably just bit the bullet and done.
Mm-hmm.
Same as this studio room.
I want to talk about technology very quickly.
Okay.
I say technology. It's not really technology. Technology is the 1 kilometer of cabling that you ran around the office.
Yeah. I had no idea you needed that many cables. I think I gave it to one of our developers and went, how many cables do I need? And I think we bought, at that point, about 750 meters of it. And I was like, do we really need this many cables? And he's like, yeah, that's the length of everything. And that's how many sockets you need in this. I was like, fine. Okay. Put the order in. Apparently, when I went to ask for a bulk discount, this doesn't count as a real order.
It's still a tiny
order, and they wouldn't give me a discount.
Lovely.
And then we had to go and buy another reel of it. There's a lot of cable.
Yeah. But like you said earlier, we now have 10 gig connections around the entire office. Lovely. You want to watch Netflix? Brilliant. Do you want to listen to Spotify? Brilliant. You want to do a million things at once? You can.
There was a time in our office where Spotify was banned. Because the bandwidth was not good enough.
Yeah, we could only have the official office Spotify running. Nobody could listen to their personal one at the same time.
And it was a proper witch hunt. If the bandwidth started going and no one could upload anything.
Look at whoever's tapping their feet.
Yeah, you'd look around the room of who's got headphones on and who might be stealing the bandwidth.
But the one real gripe I have from stuff that we integrated technology-wise is the boiling water tap. Of all things, it's the most useful, yet the most infuriating, blood pressure raising piece of inverted commas technology we chose to add.
I think we might need to start a new feature of Giorgio's rants of the day.
Da 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 da. Giorgio's rants. The number of people who've fucking burnt themselves on that tap. Even though we have printed instructions on the wall behind it, even though there is a safety catch on the tap to stop you burning yourself, people have somehow still managed to do it. And I feel sorry for them. Please understand, like, I do not want anybody to get hurt. It is a nightmare for somebody to get hurt in the workplace. But God damn, how? Who reaches across underneath the tap to turn it on? A, if it's just a normal tap, you're obviously going to get wet. With a boiling tap, you're wet and burnt. Oh, I love it. Super great to make a cup of tea in a pinch, but we've got to do staff training on how to use a tap.
It did get to that point. I was very upset when we had to print out instructions and put them on the wall in the nice new kitchen, but it seems to have done the trick now.
You were debating to embed a tablet in the wall behind the tap that auto-played a video on how to do it.
There was a conversation, yes.
Oh, dear. Absolute nightmare.
I decided a A4 piece of paper with instructions on would be enough. About 80% effective now.
We've gotten, you know, we should have a sign up. Number of days since last scolding. We're getting a decent way through now.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone knows how to use it. It doesn't help that the tap was fitted upside down when it was put in.
Don't make excuses.
Just shouldn't burn yourself, is that it?
Like, yeah. You've got to take the plastic catch off before you can turn it on. Then there's a delay. I don't know how. Anyway, we'll move on. That's the end of Giorgio's rant of the week. Ba-dum-bum.
So, should we move on to sustainability?
Yes.
having just got our B Corp.
We have. Ta-da!
We didn't want to jeopardise all our efforts and all our CSR efforts we'd done.
Yeah, Matt would have crucified us if we hadn't put sustainability on the agenda for the refurb. There was a limited amount we could do, though, let's be honest. We said earlier, it's a Grade 2 listed building.
Yeah.
We can't change much about the structure
of
the building from a sustainability standpoint, which means no new double glazed windows. It means no solar panels. It means not being able to add additional insulation, cladding, anything like that.
Yes, so there was a limit. But the bit we were keen to do was make sure that we didn't just chuck everything into landfill and then just fill it full of new furniture.
Yep. The biggest improvements we made were all about energy efficiency, really, weren't they? So the frustrating hot water tap is much more energy efficient than the old always-on hot water boiler that we had before for making drinks from. Yeah. We've got lovely new recycling caddies labelled up to make sure that all of our recycling ends up in the right places instead of getting mixed up or, even worse, just chucked into the general waste bin. We put better lighting switches and zoning around the office as well. So we've got some places on sensors, we've got dimmers, we've got multiple new setups so that meeting rooms on the ground floor and the meeting pods that we've got don't have to be switched on, have lights on all the time.
Yeah, you can turn on the areas you're using instead of just having the whole thing on.
Yep. So, yeah, some positive movements.
Yeah.
Much less water wastage. We've installed low flow faucets on everything as well. Yeah, where we've been able to make those changes, it was a great time to do it. Implemented sustainability where possible. And from, like you say, the main point was making sure we didn't just chuck stuff out unnecessarily.
It was a bit difficult though, wasn't it? Chucking stuff out. With like giving stuff away, we couldn't give our desks.
Couldn't give it away. Yeah. Eventually, I think one of the painters took some desks to use for like pigeons.
The garage, I think.
Yeah.
No, balloon making.
Balloon making. Okay.
Yeah.
No, it was the lockers were taken for. I'm sure some lockers were taken to put pigeons in, racing pigeons or something. I don't fucking know. I can't remember. It was some weird thing like that, and I was like, yeah, whatever, mate. Just take the lockers and go.
Yeah, it was hard to find a charity in Sheffield that would take office furniture. Now, they take individual desks, beds, wardrobes, but in terms of a bank of four desks which have to go together, they were basically told us they could never sell them again, so they didn't want them.
Yeah.
It was a bit of a challenge to find the right one. We did in the end, but...
Yeah, very difficult to know what the right thing to do is in those circumstances when you don't want to chuck stuff into landfill, but somebody won't take it off your hands either.
So, office refit's done. We've spent 12 weeks camping on... cardboard boxes.
Camping's fun. I wouldn't describe what we did as fun.
You have really different memories to it, don't you?
I'm just a grumpy old man. Let me be.
I do remember getting interrupted and not being able to find anything, but it definitely had a feel of camaraderie and...
It was an experience.
I think it was just that drilling for the cable five times over just triggered it for you, didn't it?
I think it was that I was renovating my house at the same time.
Yeah.
So I went... I was here for 8 hours a day with renovations going on to go home and then do my own renovations, sleep, rinse, repeat, 12 weeks.
Just didn't get away from it 12 weeks.
Made me a little mad by the end of it.
But all done. Finished all done. A week early. We got the office all set up, got fresh pictures in.
I was very precious about anybody that popped in whilst we were trying to do those finishing touches. I was kind of getting annoyed, like, stop coming in, it's not ready yet. You can't see it before it's ready.
You wanted that big reveal, weren't
you? Yeah, absolutely. It was a really important thing to me. And then, we set that up, didn't we? We set up like a big...
So we had an away day, I think.
Yes.
And then invited everyone back to the office at the end of the away day. So the away day was over in the other side of Sheffield. And we basically had a drinks reception for our team.
Yep.
Back in the office.
Yeah, stocked the fridge, stocked the new kitchen with loads of snacks, plenty of bevs.
I wish we'd put a camera up.
Would have loved to capture those first moments of people coming in and looking around and seeing the transformation, especially for team members who'd been here for like a decade and had seen the only thing they'd known was like the old dingy office.
Yeah, it was really nice to have all the team in, let them see the space, explore it, and... The new home, really, wasn't it? The new home of Evoluted.
Yeah, they still complained about the carpet. Still said it was a grandma rug. Yeah.
Oh, well.
Can't win them all.
No. I quite like the rug. I don't know what it says about my taste.
Grandma. But then we enjoyed that so much, we set up a big reveal for clients and partners as well.
Yeah.
Sent out, you know, the grand opening invitations, hand-delivered. They weren't hand-delivered, they were sent by email to, you know, all of our clients, partners, our friends and network around Sheffield and the surrounding area to invite them down for, you know, the housewarming.
Do you know what surprised me the most about that? People turned up.
Of course people are going to turn up, you cynical bastard. What surprised me the most was that people brought gifts.
Yeah, they did.
We got plants, yeah. We got cards, we got little trinkety things. It was absolutely lovely. It was brilliant.
Yeah. And
the plants are still alive, which is the most important thing.
Yes. I mean, one of them was an aloe, so almost impossible to kill.
That's true. One of the things I remember most fondly about setting that up and doing that big reveal was that it felt so casual having clients into the office just to have a chat, some nibbles, a drink with. It wasn't talking about their work or projects or business. It was genuinely nice to just be like, what's going on?
I believe we told the team that this is not a time to go and do your project catch-ups. This is a time to get to know your clients.
Yeah, it was a do not speak about work under pain of death.
And yeah, it was a really nice night. And I think we should do more of that for our team and clients and get them in more often.
Especially if they bring presents.
Yeah. Who could say no to that? But no more plants. Like, I'm already struggling. Like, two plants is quite a lot of pressure already.
Yeah, we're planted out now. We've got enough fake ones. We've got a couple of real ones that'll do us. But just reflecting on that process of doing the reveal, putting the effort into doing the reveal, I think was really important. All of the effort that had gone in and that we've spoken about through both of these episodes, the rationale, the thought behind it, all the feedback we solicited, the two different companies we looked through, the various blueprints and renders and variations, the hours going through each line item on the quote, all of that had to be made worth it and be distilled or condensed into that moment of, look everyone, wow, this is brilliant, before it settles in and becomes the norm for you. Let's have this moment where, wow, isn't this cool, look what's happened, look what's come together. And it's touchy-feely, it's wishy-washy, but I think one of the most important things that we forgot to consider from the start.
Yeah.
Something that came together towards the very end.
Yeah, it was definitely not on our minds up to that point.
Mm-hmm.
Or not on mine.
It's only once we'd seen how brilliant it was that we realised, no, we need to have that moment and share that moment with everyone.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Cool. Sam, quick fire. Top three tips from what we've learned doing this project.
Well, I think the biggest one for me was the details.
Mm-hmm.
The whole project's come together because we've looked after all the little details, and that's made the project as a whole really important. So be really particular, look into every bit and make sure it's right. This is the last time I hope we're ever doing this for this office.
Yep.
We probably, if we're looking at it again in another 5 or 6 years, probably outgrown the office, or I hope we never go do it in such a big way again. It'll be just little increments and keep improving it rather than having to rip the whole thing apart again.
Maybe it'll be our United States office.
Maybe it will be.
But yeah, details. Bring it together, make people love the space. Like we said earlier, stick to your guns, stick to your vision. Be really strict on what you want it to be.
Yeah.
Second top tip, definitely scope out a couple of different partners.
Yes.
We had a short list and whittled it down to one. We absolutely should have kept it at two or three and spent a little bit of extra money on the design fees for a few different companies to see what came back, to see how we got that feel for working with them, how they managed things, how they responded to our queries. We're spending $100,000. If we'd have spent 5 or 6 to get those designs from a couple of different companies and get to ultimately the best point faster, it would have been a huge benefit.
Yeah, definitely. We should have spent a little more time in that.
Mm-hmm. And I think the final tip needs to be, and I think you will agree with this one, a project like this will be way more work than you expect it to be.
Yes, way more work. We've already talked about it. Yeah.
So there's no more advice to give there other than prepare yourself,
right?
Be ready. Make sure you don't have something else huge on at the same time.
Not a project to take on if you've got loads already on your plate.
Absolutely. Fob it off on someone else.
Yeah.
Not on your accountant, though. You can't give that everything to them.
No, I don't think they'll manage this project for us, however good they are.
Yeah.
Details. Make sure you go out and look at different options, and it's going to take you way longer than you expect. I hope you've all enjoyed this.
If you're still here at the end, well done you. What originally sounded like a crazy idea of spending $100,000 on an office refurb for a team of 40 people who mainly worked remotely, but actually has proven itself to be an incredibly worthwhile investment.
Absolutely.
A really interesting and educational journey for us. And whatever happens, hopefully, if you're planning on doing the same thing, there's a few takeaways for you.
Yeah. And if you are, reach out. We're more than happy to talk about what we've learned along the way and all the mistakes we've made.
All the mistakes we've made, as well as what we did right. There Absolutely. Are plenty of things we've done yeah. right. Share your thoughts with us online. Let me know whether you think I deserve more points than what I got, and Sam should have some deducted, because I'm sure it should happen somewhere along the line. And of course, do remember to connect with us on LinkedIn. Our profiles are going to be posted in the show notes. And if you're feeling generous enough and you've enjoyed listening to the two-parter, leave us a review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you'd like to leave a review. If you're not following, follow along, and we will see you for the next episode.
Thanks very much.
Ciao.